The Cambridge Marketing Podcast with Kiran Kapoor. Brought to you by Cambridge Marketing College. See their range of courses and apprenticeships at marketingcollege.com.
Welcome to the Cambridge Marketing Podcast. My guest this week is Rob Gregory, who runs a technology consultancy, Magnifica Technologies. Rob, welcome. I know you as a digital marketing tutor, as well as a practitioner in this field. You talk in Magnifica about that you look at ways of getting your message to the right people at the right time. So can we talk a little bit about how you find the right people?
Absolutely. Hello, Kiran. Yes. I mean, look, in a world where everything can be or is a distraction, it's really important for us all to, as you say, find the right people at the right time. I mean, it's never been easy to do that in marketing necessarily. But what we've got to do is plan. And that's the key thing. We have to have a very clear strategy for how we're going to find the right people at the right time. And the thing is, we can really easily in marketing overcomplicate things, and that's when we just don't get the results that we want to achieve. So for me, it's about coming up with something which is, yes, have a big dream of who you want to speak to and how you're going to speak to them, but just make it something that is achievable. Look at routes to your customers, your users, whoever that might be, which you realistically can use and that you have got the skills to implement those strategies, whatever they might be, to get at those right people at the right time. Because there's different channels, there's different platforms, there's different times of day, you know, there's different types of content, of course, and it's making sure you've defined who those people are and then starting to break down how you can access them at the right time. And of course, it's different for every business. I work with a wide range of different organizations, some large, some small, some international, but mainly in the UK. And every business has got a different personality. And every person, every human being we're trying to get a message to has a different personality. So it's all about trying to find ways that we can get those to match up. They can marry up in some kind of strategy, some kind of campaign, to make sure that we are in front of someone at the right time so that message is there for them and they can engage with it. So really for me, it's about planning and it's about making sure that you've got a good solid strategy in place and that you've got ways of measuring that as well. Because it's okay thinking we've got a message in front of the right person at the right time, but of course, if we're not measuring that, there's no way for us to look back and say, that was a good thing that we did, or that was a good campaign, that was a good strategy that worked, and we can do more of it. So it's about keeping it super simple. It's about making sure we know who those people are, making sure we know who we are as a business, and then putting in place a really simple plan to get some messaging out there, and then just make sure we measure it and test it to ensure we can iterate and improve it over time.
Wow, okay, there's loads of things in there to unpack. So let's go back to, there were two things you said that really caught me there. One was knowing who I am as a business, and the other one was knowing who my customers are. So let's start with who the customers are. And you talk on your website about customer personas. Can you explain what a customer persona is and how you work out who your customers are?
Yeah, so it's something that gets missed quite a lot. It's really exciting, isn't it, in business? If you're going to build, say, a new website or you're launching a new app or you are putting out a campaign, it's really exciting at the start and you just want to get going with it. But that's kind of where the first mistake happens, because you can't just get started building something or planning some content if you don't know exactly who you're trying to speak to. So that's where this idea of personas comes in. User personas, customer personas, sometimes people might call them avatars. It doesn't really matter what jargon you use. The point is we spend time understanding really quite deeply who these people are that we think or we know that we can engage with. So what we do is we kind of group together into a real person or a made-up real person who our customers are. So if we take an example of a business, I'm working with a new customer at the moment, and they sell compact loaders. So not very sexy necessarily. They're small diggers with sort of 150 different attachments that go on the front. Really, really versatile, and they're a great product. And they could just start marketing them and try and sell them. But actually, in the discovery workshop I did with them about 10 days ago, we spent about an hour looking at customer personas. And we broke it down and we understood they've got three major personas or three major customer groups. And in breaking those down and looking at all sorts of attributes of those individuals, we were able to really quickly understand that there was differences, and those differences were really going to matter in the way that they marketed these products. So they've got three personas, really. They've got one, which is a large organization wanting a new digger. There is another one, which is a small, maybe, I don't know, landscape gardening company that wants a new digger. And the third one is an individual that owns some land. And that's the third one that they'd not really considered, but made up about 40% of their customer base. And they'd not really understood the difference in how to market to them. And the reason it's different is quite simple. They're spending their own money. They're not spending a business's money. And that just completely shifts the way that you would market to them, how you would communicate to them, how you would tell them about this product and what the benefits are to them. So that's an example there of how actually by looking at those three different personas, and we actually gave them names and we actually gave them faces, you know, so we could say, oh, would Bill buy this thing in that way? No, he wouldn't. Would Sally buy this thing in that way? Yes, she would. Okay, so now we've got some reasons for doing things on their new website with their marketing campaigns, which are going to speak to those individuals.
Okay, so this is fascinating. So how did you uncover that those were the three type of customers? Do you literally go back through and look at the people that are buying? Is it as simple as that?
It again, it does, as ever in marketing, it depends. But in that case, it was, okay, Steve, let's look at all of your sales data. Yes, from the past, I think it was 3 years. You know, and they were breaking it down into rough sort of groupings. I forget exactly what they called them. But that's when I highlighted, hang on, 40% are to individuals. And actually, all of the marketing on their existing website never spoke about an individual buying this. It was all about large contractors or small contractors buying them. So that just uncovered for me a great opportunity in their business and with their marketing to do things better. So once we'd understood that, then in effect, we go through a process of, I sort of interviewed the people in the room really and kind of asked about their customers and told me about these people who were using their own money versus the people that were, you know, raising a purchase order through a larger business. And we really understood some massive, massive differences in those different personas. So we were able to write those down. And then we've got these three, what I call a persona card, which is a real piece of paper with all these attributes written down and a photograph and a name. And it sounds simple, but it really works, because I had another meeting with them yesterday and we pulled out the three persona cards and we said, what about this part of the website? Will Bill use that? No, he won't. What about this part of the marketing strategy? Will Sally use that? Yes, she will. And that's really, really powerful, because it means you're not spending time on things which aren't going to speak to those different personas.
Okay, and I love the fact that you actually said it was on a real piece of paper. I think one assumes that it's going to be some whopping great database somewhere and you're going to create, I don't know, some sort of AI view. But actually, you've written it down on a piece of paper with photographs, I think is quite old school in a way. But obviously, from what you're saying, a very powerful way of doing it.
It really is. There are tools out there that you could use, you know, but from experience, I find that people will spend more time learning how to use that tool and make it look pretty and deliver some assets across the business and all this stuff, when actually they should be spending that time sat around a table with, I actually use, you know, wallpaper, backing paper. I have a big roll of that. And when I go to a meeting, we put that out on the boardroom table or, you know, in the factory or wherever the customer is, and we draw all over it. Or we use a whiteboard. It doesn't matter. The reason I've done that for forever is that digital is what we're working in. Okay, that's the world. They're the tools that we use to sell, to market. But human beings are analog. They aren't digital. We're speaking to human beings. They're an analog thing. So I just, with personas, I come away from the computer. Yes, we may photograph those later. We may scan them in. We may turn them into a Word document and print them off or email them to one another. But for me, it has to start in the real world, because in three dimensions, we can understand people better. So it's just, for me, it's tried and tested. It's old school, but I love it. And, you know, the customers love it. And actually, we get better personas, I believe, by doing it in that way.
You talked about right people, and we're sort of exploring the idea of personas. Then you said right time. Now, I think we can all realise that at different times of day, we are a different type of consumer. I'm a different consumer in my working day than I am when I'm being a family member at home, for example. So how do you find the right time? Is it a time of day, or are we talking about a time of year? What do you mean by right time?
Well, again, it does depend on the business that I'm working with, or the business who they are working with in terms of their customer personas, because all of those things can be the right time. You know, it can be the time of day, of course. The example I use there is, you know, as a parent of, you know, young children, you're very, very busy trying to manage everything in your life. So as a consumer, there's certain times of the week where you are very unlikely to engage with marketing around some of the products or services you might want to buy. But there are other times in the week where you really will engage. And I remember this vividly, actually. I've got twin daughters, they're now 5 years old. And the first 2 or 3 years were pretty hardcore, I'll be honest. And I didn't really engage with much, you know, because I was very tired. But actually, there were certain things we needed to buy. And I don't know whether it was luck or whether it was a very clever data-led marketing campaign, but we used to get a marketing email sent to me about 8 o'clock on a Friday evening asking if I needed to buy any more nappies. And this was from an eco nappy supplier. Now, if they'd sent that to me at 6 o'clock in the morning, midday, any other time of the week than Friday at 8 o'clock in the evening, when I'd finally got them to sleep, work was done, I was sat down sharing a bottle of wine with my wife, I got the email and I thought, yeah, we do need some nappies. And I made the order. You know, I converted right there from that email marketing campaign. Mm-hmm. So they were either being smart or it was just luck. I don't know, but it worked. That was the right time for me, you know. But also, you know, in terms of timing, it can just be the whole life cycle of a product or of a service. You know, if you're buying a holiday, there are certain times when people will be more likely to purchase a holiday. I mean, New Year's Day, I believe, is still a big day for people looking and planning their holidays for the year. Mm. You know, people aren't going to book many holidays on Christmas Day, maybe, or Christmas Eve, because they're busy with other things. So yes, it really does depend. And you've got to be smart about understanding your personas to start off with. But then when actually, just as a large cohort, are these people likely to buy from you or to in some way engage with you? And slot your marketing into those timeframes.
So to come back to your example of your digger company, how would they work out when was the right time to approach the individual who owns land, for example?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. And I actually asked that of them. There's a few ways of doing that. We live in a world where there is a lot of data. So there's loads of things that they can do. You know, they can, one suggestion I had was get really friendly with local estate agents. When someone buys a property, yeah, with more than an acre of land, they're going to need a small vehicle digger for maintaining that land. Is there something you could do there to be able to do some marketing around that? Maybe so. But also, clearly, there's times of the year. So from a seasonal point of view, where you're likely to need equipment to do more grounds maintenance. So you can maybe ramp up marketing in the 2 or 3 months before then, depending, of course, on what your average sales cycle or timeline looks like. So you need to use all these sort of spots of data and bring them together to try and build a picture. And in that example, they might want to be looking to sell heavily through the winter, knowing that when spring comes, these pieces of equipment, you know, are going to be absolutely in demand. So that would be one example for them.
Okay, that's, yes, I was also thinking maybe you actually sell in springtime when the new owner suddenly looks around and goes, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I need one of these pieces of equipment. But yes, I take your point that there is a definite seasonal aspect to it. And you make a really valid point about it depends how long your sales cycle is, because you can't just assume that people are going to wake up on a Monday morning and have bought a digger by Wednesday, because I assume that it's going to be far too expensive to do that. So you do need to work back in your time cycles.
Absolutely. And then one of their other personas, they're the big, larger contractors. They'll be looking to do, you know, a CapEx purchase towards maybe the end of their financial year. So let's look and find out some of these big organizations, look into maybe their accounts and go, hang on, when's their year end? Do we need to approach them as an outbound marketing activity 3 months beforehand and say, look, you know, you can make a capital purchase from us on this product. And hey, maybe there's an offer in there as well. So there's lots of things organizations can do once they understand who their persona is, to look at timing and look at actually how they can slot into the right part of their customer's cycle in terms of when they would want to or need to purchase something.
Great stuff. So I want to come on to testing it in a moment, but there's one other piece of jargon that you have in fact avoided using, but I often see in this area, which is a user first approach. And I come across this so often when companies come to me offering their services. We have a user first approach. Does that actually mean anything?
I think it means a lot. I think it's a great soundbite, isn't it? It's a great thing to say. Yeah, we're user first. We're a customer first organization. And a lot of organizations purport to be that, but then when you engage with them, they really aren't. You know, I recently bought a property and had to engage with some conveyancers, and I can't exactly remember what their strap line was, but it was something along the lines of "we're customer first." I can assure you they weren't. Horrendous service, you know. It is jargon. But it shouldn't be. You know, it should be that you can stand by that statement as an organization and say, we put our customers, our users, right at the center of everything we do. And that isn't just, you know, we do great deals and, you know, we can sell you something. It has to be right from the first principles of all your marketing and sales activities to say, it's not about us. It's about helping our customers. It's about educating them. It's about giving them great experiences. It's about knowing how they would want to engage with the product or service that we have got, making them comfortable with that, and planning all of your user journeys around it. Not just, you know, the first bit, which is the advert that says we're user first, and maybe the last bit of saying thank you. It's everything in between. And not all companies that say they are that. So they need to work harder at that. And they need their marketing, you know, their third-party marketing providers to support them in doing that as well, because it's a shift in thinking and that can take some time.
Thank you. So lastly, I wanted to come on to testing, because you said very clearly that there was no point in having a strategy and a nice plan if you weren't actually measuring the results. So how do you practically do that? Because again, we all say, oh, I'm going to measure results. And I know I get to the end of a campaign and I'm a bit tired. And frankly, I think the campaign's finished now and I'm going to move on to the next one. And I do actually sometimes not get round to measuring results. So how do you practically make certain that that happens?
Yeah, well, the first thing to say is we all do that. So don't beat yourself up, Kieran. It does happen, you know. You put the effort in and it's hard, isn't it? Finishing off and doing that kind of measurement report at the end. Thankfully, though, it's 2021 and there are so many tools out there, some free, some paid for, that allow us to track everything. You know, we all know this, don't we? The data is there. The key thing is starting out with a goal of what you want to track. You could track everything. You know, and there's organizations out there that do that. They're the big tech organizations, aren't they? They're Google, they're Facebook, they're Microsoft, and they track every single interaction and they're able to report on that and learn from it. If you are not one of those large organizations, you have to be honest with yourselves and be realistic and say, we can't do that. We need to be realistic as an organization about what we can track. We can't track everything. So right from the start of a campaign or even a project at large, if it is a whole website rebuild, for example, we need to plan what we want to track and set some goals and only track that, you know, don't worry about everything else. The really key thing, I think, around measuring things is to understand that everything we do in marketing is an experiment. And sometimes that gets missed. People will think that it has to work perfectly first time. Completely unrealistic, of course. It's an experiment. It's incremental improvements. It's measuring the first time we do something and then making a change based on the data. So if you're setting out on a campaign, set some kind of hypothesis of what you think might be the outcome. Then think about what the data points are you need to track. It could be, you know, kind of fuzzy stuff like just engagement numbers or something. It could be really strict conversion rates, you know, from ad spend to purchasing on e-commerce, or it could be downloading a newsletter, click-through rates. It doesn't really matter what it is. Write those down. Plan your campaign around that and make sure you measure it. And that means then when you get to the end, the reporting on it's quite easy because we're only going to report on two things, not 50. So that's the key thing. Like everything, keep it really simple and really tight. And then if it's a success, you can go again, or you can scale up that reporting if your business grows or your team grows. But just in the first instance, do small scale testing and prove to yourself that you're heading in the right direction, really. That's enough.
And would you use your personas and be running tests on each of the personas that you have created to ensure that you've got them right?
In an ideal world, yes. There's a few things you can do there. One may be that you have different plans for those personas, so very different sort of streams of marketing or even user journeys through an app or a piece of software or a website, and then you can clearly track them and map that data back to your persona. But interestingly, what you can also do sometimes is then try that user journey for the other persona, you know, and see what happens. And that can get some interesting results as well. So, the answer to your question is always use those personas from planning through to implementation and then to testing. Go back and say, did Sally, this persona that we've made up with a name and a face and some demographic information and motivations, etc., actually give us the kind of numbers we wanted at the end of our campaign? Or do we need to do something else? Do we need to dial things up or down a little bit in the next iteration of that campaign to make sure we're satisfying Sally's needs over there? And then Bill and James and whoever else on the other stuff, measure them too.
Rob Gregory, that was absolutely fascinating. I love the fact that you're still using pencil and paper. I'm a complete believer in that. And I take your point as well, that it's very easy to get caught up in using the tools rather than actually spending the time on what you were supposed to be working on, which in that discussion was customer personas. Thank you so much for that insight. That was really, really interesting.
Thank you very much.
The Cambridge Marketing Podcast. From Cambridge Marketing College, training marketing and PR professionals across the globe.